Since the launch of Interfaith Alliance, Walter Cronkite Faith and Freedom Awards in 1998, we've celebrated many Americans who have defended religious liberty and improved our society. Many have been prominent names. Many others have been more private, but no less effective advocates. As the 2017 awards reception draws near, it's happening, by the way, on April 4th in Washington, D.C., I wanted to highlight the meaning behind the event, as well as the recipients, with Interfaith Alliance President Rabbi Jack Moline. And so, Jack, welcome back to State of Belief Radio.
Nice to talk to you, Welton, as always.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the origins of the Cronkite Faith and Freedom Awards.
I feel like I should be interviewing you on this. The association of Mr. Cronkite with Interfaith Alliance, as you well know, is one that he sought out. And we were so inspired by his engagement with the organization that the board, which you led as president at the time and which I was a member, decided that we would begin this tradition of awarding people who had made significant contributions to the cause of faith and freedom with an award that eventually bore his name and that he received.
I think most listeners know the close relationship the late Walter Cronkite had with this organization, but it would be worth taking a couple of minutes to trace that history. You were there from the beginning. I was there at the first time we presented the award, which was to Mr. Cronkite. Talk a little bit about the relationship between this great man and this great organization.
You know, it's a shame that there's a generation, maybe two, of Americans who don't remember what Walter Cronkite meant to the American public. He was certainly not the only network news anchor, but he was the only one who earned the reputation as the most trusted man in America. And when he retired from CBS News and looked around for organizations that represented the values he felt he was promoting in as objective a way as is possible for a human being, he identified Interfaith Alliance and its resistance to the desire of people who were on the radical religious right to change the nature of this country from one in which freedom of conscience was celebrated and government and religion were kept separate to one in which all of those things were blended into a sort of modern theocracy. So we looked for people who represented those values. And to our delight and to Mr. Cronkite's delight during the last years of his life, we found remarkable people who were able to advance that cause.
I remember a day when Mr. Cronkite was doing an interview with the New York Times, and it was an interview about religious liberty and somewhat also about his relationship to our organization. And at the end of it, after the microphone was off and all of that, the reporter said, "Well, Mr. Cronkite, what is your religion?" And he said, "None of your business. That's what this is all about." And, you know, to talk about somebody as the most trusted man in America today is almost unfathomable for a lot of people. But this guy could be trusted. And our honoring of him is such a wonderful event each year. Will you talk about this year's award recipients?
I will, but I want to point out one more thing, Welton, about what you just said. You and I walk through life with a title that identifies who we are and what we believe. You're a reverend, I'm a rabbi, and there isn't any confusion that when we speak, part of what is influencing our public statements is the faith that we very publicly subscribe to. But the people who hold the public trust in this country, whether they're in the private sector like someone in the media, or whether they're in the public sector like government, ought to be answering the question that was posed to Walter Cronkite in very much the same way. Not that they're not entitled to their faith, and not that they're not allowed to express it publicly if they choose, but when it comes to the public good in this country, it really is none of anybody's business what the religious influences are. So yes, I'm happy to talk about Diane Rehm and Khizr Khan and what brought us to honor them. Diane Rehm is probably your closest competition to excellent radio, Welton. She has spent many, many years on NPR as a companion to people who have listened to her gentle, informed, and insistent way of holding conversations with people from all over the intellectual and political spectrum in this country. She is as comfortable talking to the author of a popular piece of fiction as she is talking to someone who impacts the public affairs of this country or any other country. Her secret is to listening very carefully and reflecting back to people the kinds of questions that are raised by their own words. That is exactly the kind of model that we need in discussing the public policy issues that we approach in this country. And we're so delighted she's going to be with us, especially since her best friend in the world was Bishop Jane Holmes Dixon, who was a former chair of the board of Interfaith Alliance, a former senior scholar for Interfaith Alliance, and, of course, the suffragan bishop of the Episcopal Church in Washington, D.C., before her untimely death a few years ago. So it's a very appropriate honor for Diane and for some of the causes she is involved in both on the air and off the air. Khizr Khan is familiar to most Americans because of his electrifying speech to the Democratic National Convention just this past August, in which he, as a Gold Star father, stood with his wife in front of the thousands of people who were gathered on location and the millions who were watching him on television, and held up the Constitution of the United States and challenged the Republican candidate at the time, Donald Trump, who I remind our listeners is now President of the United States, challenged him to be faithful to the principles of the Constitution, and in, I think, about as civil a way as possible, asked him if he'd actually ever read the document and if he'd like to borrow it. Now, since that time, Mr. Khan has had a very public and active life in which, to be honest, much like Walter Cronkite, he has volunteered how important interfaith work is to him. So when I approached him really in a casual conversation about whether he would be interested in working with us and receiving this award, he was so honored and so enthusiastic, it almost embarrassed me that I waited so long to ask him.
Jack, talk for a minute about how these two great recipients reflect, it really reflect, the ongoing work and mission of Interfaith Alliance.
You know, our connection to faith and the Constitution is one that recognizes that matters of conscience are essential for the individual and guaranteed by the Constitution, but matters of public policy require that the private and passionate convictions of every American be brought to the forefront. I think when you look at the legacy of Diane Rehm and her talent at drawing out people's beliefs and people's ideas and contributing them to the free marketplace of ideas that constitutes our country and its public discussions, I think you can't find a better example of someone who represents what we as an organization, and I think what we as Americans, recommend as the mode of addressing public concerns. Now, that's slightly different from what Mr. Khan represents. Khizr Khan is a devout Muslim. He is a naturalized American citizen who's made the ultimate sacrifice of his son's life to the cause of defending democracy. And he brings his particular perspective, and I might add something that people often overlook, the fact that he is a constitutional expert. He brings all of that to the forefront from his particular perspective and illustrates the need for individual citizens to step up, to speak their minds and to contribute to the great public discussion that is United States society.
How can listeners who want to be present for the award ceremony, how do they get information and sign up for that? And how does someone who would like to be there but can't offer support for this event?
So let me first mention that in addition to honoring these two extraordinary individuals, the event on April 4th in Washington, D.C. is being held at Mitchell Gold and Bob Williams, a fabulous furniture and home lifestyle store. And the name that's at the top of the marquee there, Mitchell Gold, is one of the great supporters of Interfaith Alliance and his own organization, Faith in America. And Mitchell is sponsoring this event and hosting it for us. So it's an extra bonus that people will get to meet Mitchell in his sort of native environment if they join us. By going to our website, interfaithalliance.org, and clicking on the link to the Walter Cronkite Faith and Freedom Awards event, people can make reservations and show up on April 4th for a wonderful evening. But if they can't make it, if they're not in Washington, D.C. that day, or they don't feel like traveling here, they can still make a contribution by going to that same website and clicking on the large orange button that says Donate, which I think is self-explanatory.
Jack, I always, when you're here, I've got to ask something more about the organization. As a nonpartisan organization, how is Interfaith Alliance navigating the current wave of assaults on true religious liberty in our nation?
Navigating those assaults is not a hard thing for us, Welton, because an attack on any religious group in this country is an attack on every religious group in this country and an assault on the freedom of conscience and the freedom of faith that is enshrined in the Constitution. So we have no problem speaking up when we see it, and we have no problem calling out people who should be using the good offices of the government and the public voices of the United States to object to them. That includes people who are in government, people who are in the private sector, and people who are faith leaders as well. So we don't have any problem doing that. What is a little difficult for us is that there seems to be a good deal more of assaults on religious minorities that seem to be emanating from quarters that support one side of the aisle than the other. And we're very, very careful not to call names of people who are in public office and not to accuse them of motivations and prejudices that may seem apparent to the victims but are probably not in the heart of the people who are being accused. So I encourage listeners to pay close attention to what we say and to remind us if we cross that line. I have no opinion on what the personal convictions of the president or the vice president or any members of the cabinet or any member of the House or Senate happens to be, but I do have very strong opinions on the rights and freedoms of all Americans that need to be protected by those folks.
Jack, Interfaith Alliance has never been an organization that asks for money in order to strengthen the bank. It's always asked for money so that it can do its job in as comprehensive and effective way as it can. Right now, if you could get more money from this event, which we hope happens, what would you be wanting to do with that money right now?
I think the best thing that could happen to us, Welton, is if we could include on our staff someone who is dedicated to the pursuit of policy matters, someone who would be up on Capitol Hill every day if necessary, visiting with the people who are opinion shapers and who are casting votes on legislation, to make sure that our message is presented to them face-to-face and in a very personal way, and not just through the press releases and emails and phone calls that we make out of our office here. Our voice would be amplified manifold by the addition of just one program director to our staff, and if there's somebody who's generous out there and wants to see us expand even further, it isn't an arithmetic, it's an exponential increase as we add voices. And by the way, every listener can be a voice like that himself or herself. It's simply a matter of picking up the phone, opening up the keyboard, or holding a pen and communicating with local, state, federal legislators and the media.
Not that it matters necessarily, but I couldn't agree more. Longtime journalist and public radio host Diane Rehm and constitutional attorney and Gold Star dad Keyser Khan will be the recipients of this year's Interfaith Alliance Walter Cronkite Faith and Freedom Awards. It's on April 4th. Please go to the website at Interfaith Alliance and look into that. Come to the event if you can. Support the Interfaith Alliance if you can't or if you can. The venue is the downtown Washington location of Mitchell, Gold, and Bob Williams. Complete information is available at interfaithalliance.org. Jack?
Before we go, Welton, I just have to remind you that before you and I speak again, the baseball season will begin again in the United States. Always a time of renewal and hope, and the beginning of the next 108-year cycle for the Chicago Cubs.
That's right. And it's also the time maybe the two of us will sit down again and watch a good Washington team as well.
There you go.
Jack, thanks so much for being with us today on State of Belief Radio.
Thanks, Welton.
Well, that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you've made a donation to State of Belief Radio this week, thank you, thank you, thank you. We're counting on you now more than ever. And quite frankly, so are many listeners who aren't able to find the voices that we amplify week after week anywhere else. If you've heard something that you found to be helpful, I urge you to share it with others who might also benefit from hearing it. It's easy to do that on Facebook and Twitter. Direct them to stateofbelief.com, where they'll find full episodes, an in-depth archive, extended interviews, transcripts, and links mentioned in the show. That's stateofbelief.com. State of Belief Radio is a production of Interfaith Alliance. Become a member today at interfaithalliance.org. Our producer is Ray Kirstein. Be sure to join us next week for more stories from the intersection of religion, government, and politics. Until then, you all take care of each other. I'm Welton Gaddy. That's State of Belief.
It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.